Accession number 20971, Reel 3.
Hugh Beattie, Reel 3. You were saying that you used to cheer the Allied planes.
Oh, yes, at night when they used to come over, and they got quite excited about that. They didn't like that at all, for us cheering. Well, we did have a visit from the... I don't know whether the SS or Gestapo, but they were all dressed in black drawers and that. And we knew they were coming, so all rings or anything like that, we'd bury them in the hut and cover them over, because they would have everything. Anyway, you'd go and they'd search you, and then a cut across the backside with a stick or a whip, and that was that. That was very comfortable.
But you were talking about being liberated by the British troops.
Yeah, well,
what happened after that?
Yeah, we were taken to Celle, which is near Belsen. And I didn't go in Belsen, but I came by it. That was pretty awful. Then we were taken in Dakota to Brussels Airport. And there... I also got, I bought some cigars and the lighters. They were, when I went to get them out, I was later on, they were mouldy. Anyway, we were at Brussels Airport, and I think it was Wellington that lands. And anybody want to go back to Blighty? And we rushed forward, and I think it was about 12 or 14 got on the Wellington. And I also remember the pilot said, "Crowd up to the front, chaps, or we should never get off of the..." Oh, my God, that's nice, after all this time. Anyway, we landed at somewhere near... I think it must have been Great Eastern, which is near Dunmo in Essex. And the RAF place there. And... No. We landed somewhere in... we were taken to Sussex. Where, I don't know, to this RAF place, and they served us up the most disgusting food, all walloped on a plate, and I was with Jock Muir, the sergeant major, and myself, and we'd been there today, and we were allowed a telephone call free of charge, which was very nice of them, I thought, free of charge to ring up our wives or whatever. So I rang the wife up, said I was home. And she said, when will you be home? I said, as soon as possible. So we went in the office, and we said to the second lieutenant, "We want a pass. We've been here quite long enough." And he said, "Well, you can't have a pass." And I said, "Well..." So we said, "Well, if we haven't got a pass, we shall be going in within the hour. So you must make your mind up." So we went back in an hour's time. The passes were there. We went up to London, and I arrived home. Got to Chelmsford, got a taxi, hadn't got any money, and paid him the other end. And he offered to take me in for a glass of beer. And I said, "No, I don't think I've got to drink beer in my state of health." And I weighed, when I got home, I weighed 7.6, because I hadn't had Red Cross parcels. But within about 3 months, I had 2 months' leave, and that was very enjoyable. Met a lot of old friends.
What was your normal weight?
I went in the army at 11.10. And when I eventually came out, I weighed 11.10. So I picked it up pretty quick.
How tall were you?
5'11". Yeah. So that was that. And I went, had 2 months leave, and I went to Great Yarmouth for a few days. And I didn't meet anybody I knew there at all. And from there, we went to Dorchester Barracks. And there's a lot of my old friends back there. They were all there. And all we did there was, and I met my company commander, who had who had escaped, who was in Paris, and he'd hidden in a wardrobe or something like that, and he got away from Paris. He got the DMC, Bill Addison, yeah. And incidentally, I hear last month that he's 97 and still going strong. Whether he still is, I don't know. But he met them there and he said, what would you like to do? I said, well, I don't know. Not in the office. He said, well, you'll go in the office for a week. And I said, well, all right. And he said, well, there's an old friend of yours in the stores. And I said, oh, yes, a Sergeant Hogg, so-called Piggy, because of his surname. And we got in the stores and just supplied the stores when the lads came back from the Middle East and whatever, Far East. And I did that for, when did I get there? And I got away in the February, March. And I got down there in May. And I was demobbed from there in the March of 46. And I was demobbed at Northampton. I remember that. Yeah, that was it.
What do you think now about having served with the Royal Norfolks in the Second World War?
Oh, yes, I think they were a good mob. Good regiment. Darn good regiment. I still meet friends. I used to go to reunions, but I don't now, because I've not been able to see. A bit difficult. No, I still in correspondence with about six of them. Unfortunately, my pal, George Jones, of Sergeant Major of C Company, he died in October. But here we got the MM with Major Jameson, BC, in his company. So I go and still correspond with his widow and a colour sergeant in Norwich, two of my platoon boys in Norwich, my company cook in near King's Lynn, my signaller's wife down in Oxford, or Wallingford. Yes.
What opinion of the Germans did you form after being a prisoner?
Well, they were like us. They didn't want to go in the army, I don't think. No, they were all right. I mean, we didn't get with any... Only once did I see what I termed Nazis, and they were females. We were in a camp, and we saw these women, and they really were with women prisoners, and they really got the skirts and the whips, or the thongs. Oh dear. That, I remember that one camp we went through. But otherwise, no, they were all right. Quite good, really.
Now, can we go back to the occasion when you were captured? Can you tell me again the date that you were captured?
Yeah, it was on the night. We moved up on the 7th of August, so it would be the 8th of August when we were captured. In the early hours, 7 o'clock in the morning, it was light, because we'd been banging away all night. Of course, we just ran out of ammunition.
And where was it?
Grimbosque, south of Caen, over the Orne. Must have been about a mile from the Orne, I suppose.
And can you take me through the whole incident again, from moving up? Can you take me through it step by step again, please?
From the Orne?
From how you moved up on the 7th.
Well, we moved up on tanks to about a couple of 3 miles from the Orne for a night. Then we moved up the start line for sometime in the evening. It was pitch black, and we went through it sloped down very steeply to the river, and we went through this wood, and it was so black you couldn't see your hands in front of you, so they white taped it, and we crossed the Orne, waded across, up the bank the other side, until we came to a wood on the right, where I heard these German voices, and the grenade was tossed in, and we moved up to this sort of orchard affair, I think it was. There was trees around it, I think, and we dug in, got the head in first. That was most important to me, and with a nice couple of signals, and in the meantime, my second in command, he'd gone up with a taken command of a platoon to the right, because that wasn't being protected. And then we heard that there was all this firing going on, and we were banging away. And the death blessed 18 set wouldn't work, so we were completely cut off from the rest of the battalion. And that was it. We banged away all night. I think it was the third time that they attacked, and we then, that was our lot, as it were. Mm. That wasn't very pleasant. And I say, we were in denim, so it was damn cold too, because we were wet.
What was your job when the fighting was going on?
I was sergeant major at the company headquarters with a chap with a 18 set, two signallers, and a runner. So it was about five of us. In the meantime, the second in command, he'd gone, and we were firing away to the right of the other platoon sections and platoons, because you know, we just ran out of ammunition.
What was the morale of the men like?
Well, I don't think we were just dejected. I think to think we got captured, that was damned annoying. But nothing you could do about that. I don't know what, because I was segregated. We were segregated, the NCOs and officers, from the rest of the chaps.
What was the terrain like in the area?
You've got an awful lot of what they call bocage country, you know, small fields with hedges all around. Very difficult to fight in, because good for defence, wasn't it? You know, they just sit one end of the field and wait. Yeah.
What did the Germans say to you when they captured you?
Well, just interviewed us. Well, just gave you a number, rank and name, and that was it. And that's all you said.
Did they take anything off you?
Yes, they took my watch, the Swines, my G1098, and a postal order I'd got. And I don't know if there's anything else I got. But I do remember I got maps in my pocket when I was captured, but they never took those. Didn't know I'd got them. And also, we got grenades, and I got grenades, and we dumped those, because I'd got phosphorus grenades in my pocket, and that wasn't very clever.
Why not?
Pardon?
Why not?
Well, if I'd been hit with a phosphorus grenade, that burnt you, wouldn't it? So I tossed those away.
What was your G1098?
A watch. A company watch. Army watch. Yeah, jolly good watches they were. Ingersoll, I remember, of course. Yeah. Yes, now they took those off me.
Did you have any complaints about how they treated you?
No. 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 I didn't tell you. I went to, the devil was it we went when I was finished off, just prior to Northampton. I was taken down to Chichester, I think it was. And no, it wasn't. It was on the road to Tame or Oxford. What's the name of the town?
Wallingford.
Small market town.
Wallingford.
No, it's near a Tame. You give me the name.
Abingdon?
No.
What happened?
Anyway, we were all in there, about 200 prisoners of war, and we were interviewed by a psychiatrist. I thought that's what he was anyway. And that was it. We didn't do anything, just lolled about in the sun, nice. And after that was home sweet home, so from Northampton, yeah.